traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller from the International Equine Network coming to you live from Delray Beach, Florida. We have a lot of things on the show we're going to talk about today, maybe get you interested in it. Tomorrow being the 1st of June, we're going to really amp up our website. The website's going to really take off for us. We're excited about it. There are 40 different sections on IENTV.org, and each one of those sections is a story in itself, and we'll be having video live and taped on it, and then, of course, naturally, we'll be doing our BBS radio every Friday. But what we would like to do in the month of June, we're working it out with BBS and my sponsors. We're going to have 5 days of International Equine Network report. It's something that I've been doing, wanting to do for a long time, and it's obvious that BBS can handle what we're going to put in. Of course, we won't know the times until, you know, we get with them and they tell us, you know, what we can and where we can go. But here's the way the lineup's going to look on our weekly programming. On Monday, now these are all half-hour shows. They'll be back-to-back, hopefully. On Monday, we're going to have Quest for Equine Gold about the 2024 Olympics, show jumping, and you name it, if it's a show horse deal, we're going to have that on Quest for Equine Gold. And then on the backside of that, we're going to have 0 to 10. It's about dressage, and dressage all over the world, domestic, international, and all levels. And same for Quest for Equine Gold. It'll be domestic and international at all levels and all disciplines. So that's on Monday. Tuesday, we come out and we're going to have Chucker, which is our polo show. It's a real good show. It's amazing, all the polo venues that we have here in the United States, and we'll go over them a little bit later in the show. But there's literally a polo facility everywhere you go. Then we're going to have on Tuesday also Quarter Time, which is about the American Quarter Horse Association and all the things that they do, and it's about the real cowboys in the horse business. That's on Tuesday. Then we have on Wednesday, we have Last Call, and it's going to be for all breeds. Last Call is a equine sales program, and we're going to bring highlights and previews of sales to come up. Now, all the sales that we do will be live on our website because some of those sales go all day long and then into the night. And so we'll have them live on the website. But we're going to have a weekly update on Last Call. We're going to talk about the sales that had just, gone by. We're going to talk about sales coming up. We're going to talk about some of the stallions and the mares and the breeders and the owners of people selling the horses. It's going to be a real interesting program to see because we're going to talk about some of these horses that sell for $2 and $3 million is what we're going to do. And, and we're going to find out from the owners and the people that buy them, you know, just exactly, you know, what went into purchasing that horse. That's Last Call. It's on Wednesday. And then in the middle of the week, we're going to have an international equine report. And that international equine report is going to consist of everything. We're going to take the things that are really making the news in the equine world, and we're going to report on that. So, you know, we might have some on show horses, some on racing, might have it on veterinarian procedures, rules and regulations, trainers, owners, riders, equine transportation companies. We're going to have a little bit of everything on that show, just kind of, a general program just to get everybody up to date. That's International Equine Report and Last Call on Wednesdays. Thursdays is my day. I'm a thoroughbred guy. We have At the Wire, and At the Wire is going to preview that weekend's stake races and what's been going on and updates to all the Triple Crown races and the Road to the Breeder Cup. You know, we're going to have a little bit of everything, you know, and at the wire. And we suggest that if you want to call in, you can call in at 323-744-4831 and ask us any question you want about the horse business, and we'll answer it. If I don't know the answer, then we'll give you an email to somebody that does to help you out with that. That's what we'll do. That's at the wire on Thursdays, and then we have Flying Turns, which is actually the show that actually started out everything and started me to build the International Equine Network. I did a program from Freehold, New Jersey, with the Schwing brothers at Mizzou Sport Network, and Steve Wolf was my co-host. Ellie Cerama was working with us then. And we did live reporting from Freehold Raceway in Freehold, New Jersey. And we were doing that program. It was a test program to start simulcasting races back over to Eastern Europe. And unfortunately, after we got the show going and everything, the government changed in Eastern Europe and the countries we were going to. And they told us we had to pay more money or get out. And so we got out. You know, it was one of those things, you just never, it was week to week type of thing. But that was Flying Turns, and it's all about the standard bred industry. We got the name of the show Flying Turns from the Freehold Racetrack because they said it's the fastest half mile in the world, and they fly through the turns. So there we go. We had Flying Turns, you know, that were there with Steve Wolf. Steve Wolf was a fantastic guy. Knows his business. He works for Harness Link Magazine, which is one of our sponsors now. They're just really—he's really a good guy. Member of the Harness Racing Association, Riders Association. Steve knows a little bit of everything, and so that's why he's always good to have around, because he's got all kinds of stories and all kinds of statistical information that he knows right off the top of his head. So Thursdays are at the wire and Flying Turns on Thursday there. Friday is kind of like an international equine report. We're going to have Business of the Week on Friday. We'll select the business of the week. In fact, on our website today, the business of the week is Farm Vet Equine Products. They have the whole story there. You can order right off of our website right to them and have it drop shipped to you. So that's our business of the week this week. And then we'll have an equestrian of the week. We'll select a rider, an owner, trainer, breeder. It could be anybody involved with the equine industry. And if you write into us, there's a good chance that your suggestion would be our equestrian of the week, and it stays up on our website for the entire week. So, you know, be thinking about that. You can email us at msmequine24@gmail.com, or you can call me at 561-690-8813. It's 690-8813, area code 561. And you can nominate your equestrian of the week with us. Then we're going to have a farm of the week, which is crucial to the industry, to all of it. And it goes to all breeds, whether it's thoroughbred, standardbreds, show horses, domestic, international. You know, we're going to have a farm of the week, and that's always exciting to see. And then we're just going to basically have a weekly review of what happened in the past on Friday, and then we'll have a preview of what's going to happen on the weekend and you know, into the next week. So that's Monday through Friday. It's Quest for Equine Gold, 0 to 10 on Monday, Chucker Quarter Time on Tuesday, Last Call International Equine Report on Wednesday, Thursday's at the wire, Flying Turns, and then, of course, Friday is what we just talked about, Business of the Week, Equestrian of the Week, Farm of the Week, and a weekly review and preview. So that gets it all taken care of there. And what I like about the show, not because I designed it, because it's going to work good for us, What we do, each show is going to have an introduction, and then we'll have a segment 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll have a recap and a close. And what I like about this is the fact that we have 3 segments, and it gives us enough time to talk about each one of our segments. You know, we're not rushed through it and everything. We've got some things incorporated in there to, if we go over, you know, over on time a little bit, you know, that's okay. You know, we can do that. So, you know, we're going to have each program is going to be really, really unique in itself is what we're going to be doing. So that's where we're at with that. And then I was excited to start talking to some of the people on our segments. And one of the segments that I'm going to talk about right now is called Last Call. Last Call is about equine sales. And we go to all the big equestrian facilities where they have sales. And just to give you an example that we have here, we have a whole lot of good horses coming up for sale. And we're going to give you a run through on Fazzik Tipton sales. Of course, we got Ocala breeder sales. We got Golfs over in Ireland. We got domestic and international, but we're just going to focus right now on Fazzik Tipton. The 2024 sale dates are June 26th. We have a breeze date of June 24th for the Mid-Atlantic June 2-year-old in training sales from Timonium, Maryland. So that's coming up June 26th. That's at the end of this month. And you can come on to our website at Last Call, and you'll be able to see the under saddle works before they have that. They have that on the 24th, and then they turn around a few days later on the 26th and have the sale. Then we have July 8th, we have the July Selected Horses of Racing Age sale in Lexington. July 9th, we have Selected Yearlings in Lexington. That's where you can get those yearlings and get them ready to get into the next 2-year-old training sales in the next year. We got August 5th and 6th, we have the Saratoga sales, Selected Yearlings. That is really a good sale to go to. You know, while you're up at Saratoga watching the races, it's really a good thing to go to. It's a good social event. You literally see all the owners, all the trainers, all the jockeys. You see everybody there. That's the Saratoga sales, August 5th and 6th in Saratoga Springs, New York. Then a few days later, and this has become a real popular sale. I know that MyRacehorse.com has bought horses out of the sales and bundles them up to have give you a New York package when they go to selling their stock. It's August 11th and 12th. It's a New York bred yearling at Saratoga. It's really a good sale to go to. Then September 24th, we have the California Fall Yearlings and Horses of Racing Age sale in California at Pomona, California. That's September 24th, and that's really good one to go to because you don't see many West Coast horses east and or East Coast horses west, vice versa type thing. Then we jump on from September 24th. A week later, we have the September October 30th sale. It's the Mid-Atlantic Fall Yearlings at Timonium. That's a good race. Then we go back to Saratoga, October 15th, for the Saratoga Fall Sale. That's a real good sale, too. You can get a lot of good horses. And a lot of guys pick up broodmares there, potential broodmares there. And, you know, with the breeding season, you know, being just right around the corner in February, you know, that's a good sale to go to because you don't have the horses, you know, at your farm that long. And then you got a choice, and if you get some breeding stock there to, you know, select you a nice stallion to go to, and it really usually pays off good. And then October 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, we have the Kentucky October yearling sales at Fazzik Tipton. And boy, I tell you what, those you can get a lot of horses at that sale, that's for sure, when you get them in there. Then December 4th, we close out the year with the mixed and horses of racing age sale at Timonium. That's December 4th. And what's nice about that is, you know, again, you could possibly get you a potential broodmare out of that. You can get horses that are ready to run, you know, and start off a year, you know, racing and not have to worry about, you know, keeping them in training. You know, you can just have them go from there. And there's a lot of value there. You know, a lot of guys get a lot of value there, you know, to get what they're getting for their money and everything. So then this is really catching on pretty quick. A lot of us old timers are not used to, you know, the digital sales market, and it's becoming real popular because, what they do is they go online, and a guy by the name of, Eric Cherry started OnGate, sales, for the Standardbreds quite a few years ago, and it's gone over good. They're on the internet. And you get to see video of them. You know, they're up there for like a week or so, that they're bidding on the horses. You can see every day what the bid is on them, you know, that type of thing. And it's a pretty cool thing to do, but the sale date for the digital sales at Fassick Tipton are May 19th through the 14th, May 30th through June 4th. July 18th to the 23rd, August 22nd to the 27th, October 3rd through the 8th, and December 5th through the 10th. And that's the digital sales. And that's actually how I got the name for Last Call. What we did is we did a sale, and it got named Last Call because we didn't know where the call was going to come from, whether it was going to come over the phone, whether it was going to come from the sales arena, or whether it was going to come from the internet. And so that's how we got the name Last Call, because the last call would identify where it came from. Was it somebody at the sales? Was it somebody on the internet? Or was it somebody on the phone? And so that's how they did that. But the digital sales are really taking off now. You know, you can set, you know, in your house anywhere in the world, and you can bid on your horse. And like I said, it's got all the video and it's got everything that you want to know about the horse, you know, on that digital information sheet that you go to. So that's, you know, what we look at there. But having said that, and that's how the International Equine Network started. It was becoming, we would report on all disciplines, all, you know, all countries, all states, everything. We would started doing that because it's about information distribution. And that's how the digital sales came up, is they had so much information out there that they could put up on the internet, and they literally could sell horses now off of it. And let me tell you, you know, of course, naturally, whenever you buy a horse off the internet, you know, that type of thing, you need to have a veterinarian or your trainer, you know, or somebody go physically look at the horse. And so you have to do that anyhow, no matter where you're at. But what they've done in the sales world, the equestrian sales world, they've eliminated a lot of steps. And, you know, if you're an owner and you're sitting in Lexington and you want to buy a horse in Canada, for example, you call up a vet contact that you have in Canada, and you have them go out and inspect the horse, and they do, and then they report back to you, and if they tell you, you know, they think that it would be a good buy, then, you know, you can get on the internet and you can, you know, electronically, you know, bid on it. And that's just that's the prime example of how we're trying to get information out about the horse business and about all breeds, all disciplines, all countries. You know, we're trying to do that. And so far, everything has indicated to me that this is going to be a fairly successful venture that I'm behind. So far I've financed the whole thing myself and put a lot of work into it. Really made the big score when I got with BBS Radio and TV. They're constantly improving their product that they have, their platform. They go to you know, well over 100 countries. They got everything that I need, you know, right there at BBS to get a good show out. And all I got to do now is work on getting an announcer. And like they told me, they said, I don't have the face for TV, nor do I have the face for radio. So I thought about that for a couple of months, and I said, hey, wait a minute. I better get me a doggone announcer that knows what he's doing. So that's where we're at, you know, with the International Equine Network. We figured that it's going to be good. All of our shows are archived. You can go to bbsradio.com. You can go down to Station 1 International Equine Network, and our shows are archived. And we've got some good ones on there. We've got one that back in the day, there was a trainer named Maria Burrell, and she was a good trainer. And then all of a sudden, she just had a streak of bad luck and everything. And she trained a horse called Run Happy. He was a good horse and everything. But then a lot of things came up, and we were the only one. We were the only one at the International Equine Network that interviewed her. I was the only one who knew where she was at. They were looking for her, couldn't find her, but we interviewed her. You know, so we get to the right people and the right things and ask the right questions, you know, and then thank goodness that she ended up getting everything all taken care of, and, you know, and the misunderstanding and the accusations that were made against her were, you know, were dropped and all. But at the time, you know, we had her on the phone talking to her. I knew where she was at, you know, and the police couldn't find her. Nobody could find her. You know, but it worked, and that's what we do here. It's about the connection and distribution of information. Not saying that our interview with her helped her or hurt her, but at least she was getting her story out there, and it made her feel a lot better. And I'll always be thankful to Marie Burrell for her doing that interview with us. That was a game changer for us then. But the International Equine Network, you know, if you love horses, horse racing, equine sports at all, it's amazing glory, and you want to learn the very latest equestrian news, both domestic and international, then we're the place to come to. We're your go-to source for the equine industry. This program will introduce you to some of the most exciting equestrian events in the world. The history of the horse racing, what makes a horse great, all about standardbreds and thoroughbreds horse training, who are the best handlers and jockeys in the industry, what makes a champion horse, why breeding is so important, and all the ins and outs of betting, like you're a pro at the racetrack, so much more to see and to hear. And I'm telling you, you know, we got it all here. We got the Belmont coming up here next week. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. It'll be a week from Saturday. But, you know, we've got a good thing going here. And it takes a lot of people to get together, you know, on it. Like, for example, the guys at BBS, they're really great. They're fantastic at what they do. And I'm not saying that they, you know, they know a lot about horse racing or horse industry, but they know enough to, you know, get us in the right direction, and they have the ability to, you know, say, hey, you know, maybe we should do this, maybe we should do that, you know, let's go here, let's go there. They're very, very good at what they do, and that's part of the foundation that we have here. You know, I came up with the concept, got it down on paper, we started putting it together, and it works. And then for a long time, you know, it was the outlet that we had. And so I had friends at NBC and CBS and ABC, and I met them all from doing, you know, when we were doing racing at Churchill and, you know, different places like that, Saratoga, California. And they always wanted money. And I knew 15 years ago that money was going to kill the horse industry, because they were wanting too much. And a lot of the facilities said, you know, we just don't have the money to broadcast, because we're putting it into our facilities and into our programming that they have there. Of course, the internet wasn't around then, you know, but it was making its debut. And so all of a sudden, you know, I'm going through all kinds of information, searching for different things, and I come across BBS Radio. and their price range was right in my line. I mean, it was right there. And then all the things that they do there, they got all kinds of programming. They got all kinds of shows. You know, you name it, they've got it. From religious shows to, you know, political shows, they've got it. And so then that's when it really started clicking on me. I will be guilty by association. And when I mean that, I mean that they do everything, they go everywhere, and they've got it going. So that's what I'm doing here with the International Equine Network. We do everything, no matter what breed you are, no matter what state you're from, and no matter what country you're from. And then all of a sudden, I started realizing that, hey, guys, wait a minute. You know, let me tell your story. Send me what you have. Send me the videos. Send me the interviews. Send me the information. And then, you know, naturally, people like Churchill, you know, Gulfstream Park, Santa Anita, the showgrounds at Wellington, the showgrounds at, you know, in Tryon, North Carolina, Thermal, California, all across the country, and even over in Europe, FEI and USEF, the Olympic Committee. They said, sure, what are you going to charge us? I said, nothing. I'm not charging you nothing. I just want the content. I want the content and to be able to, you know, tell your story. And so basically what I became is I became like a local TV station. Local TV stations, they don't charge for, you know, for their program to interview. You know, they want content, and that's why they get it for free. That's why they can go out and interview people and tell you about a car crash or tell you about a guy that sold a house for $2 million. So I kind of, you know, tweaked that a little bit and put it into place with International Equine Network. And so far, nobody has told me no. They've all suggested, you know, that, hey, yeah, we'll be glad, you know, I get on their mailing list. Next thing you know, I've got all kinds of press releases coming in. I've got all kinds of video that's coming in that we're getting ready to, you know, just really amp the site up with. And so, you know, I'm saying, oh, you know, I said, well, maybe I got something here, you know, to see what we're going to do with it. And it's working out good. So now the format that I'm forming now is, along with BBS Radio, we're going to develop an open and close like we do for this show. They do it all in-house right there. And so we'll do an open and close for each one of the segments that I have. And so when I got to looking at the website today, I started thinking like, well, you know, where am I going to put this thing? It's about horse transportation. I said, well, you know, that'll go in the International Equine Report. So then all of a sudden, I looked at my website, and I've got 39 different segments on there, 39 different blocks about the show horses, racehorse industry. I said, this is crazy. You know, how's one guy going to keep up with all that? Well, so far, I'm not doing too bad. You know, I do need more help. And I said, well, first of all, I need to sit down and do marketing. And I don't know much about marketing. All I know is, you know, if you're going to sell a house, you bake bread in the house, you know, for when people walk in. If you're going to sell a car, you make sure you got the, you know, the right floor mats in. So, you know, I had a little knowledge of the marketing aspect. So here at Sunshine Meadows, there's a girl here that she's got a couple of horses and really nice girl. And so I asked her, I said, well, what do you do, you know, for a living? You know, if you don't mind me asking. And she says, I'm in marketing. I'm in equine marketing. And I said, okay. And she says, here's the card. I work for a company out of Los Angeles. So at the beginning of this week, I called the company at Los Angeles, and we had a couple meetings, and they decided that what I have here, International Equine Network, could be very, very big. It could literally spring into its own little mini network. And so that's what they do. They handle all kinds of equestrian things from sales and shows all over the country and all over the world. And I said, man, I said, this is good. So they told me, they said, what we'll do is we'll have somebody contact you this week, and it was yesterday, or it was actually Wednesday. And I said, okay. And she started laughing. And I said, what? She said, I got a girl that works for us and handles Florida for marketing. And she said, she does a little bit of everything for us. Well, lo and behold, when she told me the name of the person, I said, my goodness. I said, this is unreal. She actually has one of her horses here in Sunshine Meadows. And I said, boy, oh boy, can you ever imagine that? Hire a company from California to do marketing, and they've got their own person already here. And I said, boy, you know, and she knows what I'm doing, you know, and so she's really up on the project. So that cut out a lot of time and a lot of effort, you know, for it. But again, you know, to show you how things are, it's about the distribution of information in the equine industry, who you are, where you're at, what you're doing, and when you're doing it. So now we're on the right track. We're stepping up, you know, and like I said, we're going to be hiring some announcers to come in with us. We'll get somebody in here that can, you know, professionally, you know, announce and do things instead of rambling on like I do. You know, at times, sometimes I can put myself to sleep when I start talking, you know, and I said, I should have listened to my parents when they told me years ago, why do you talk so much? I said, well, now I know. But, you know, once we get that going, that's a whole different, step in the right direction. The concept that I have for some of the programs, for example, is called Triple Crown Traditions. And Triple Crown Traditions is about the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes. And then I added a little twist to it, which I always do. And I added the Breeders' Cup in there. And the reason I added the Breeders' Cup, because everybody that runs in the horse racing thoroughbred industry wants to get that Triple Crown. And then other than the Triple Crown, when in a Triple Crown race, the Breeders' Cup is the next in line. So I was eating one day at Churchill Downs, eating breakfast, and I got to thinking about it. I looked and saw everybody around. And, you know, they had people that were barbecuing by the barns, and you know, they had the restaurants and the lunch truck and, you know, the whole nine yards. And I said, you know, I said, what I'm going to do is think about food for the horse industry. You know, how can we do something along the lines of food? And then Bobby Flay, which is a television cook or chef, who, if you know, I call him a cook, he thinks I'd say crook. No, but he's a chef. And he's very well known. And Bobby had a lot of horses with Todd Pletcher, and Bobby had his horses at our Palm Beach Downs training facility for thoroughbreds. And so I said, you know, he would be the right kind of guy, you know, to get involved in this, because he's been there and he's done that, you know, and that cuts out a lot of time and effort, you know, for when we're doing what we're going to be doing. So I got to thinking. I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the different associations, Churchill, Pimlico, and Belmont. And so I went to their marketing people. And I said, this is an odd idea that I have. It's called Triple Crown Traditions. And I said, it's going to be a cooking show. And I said, what I'd like to do from each one of the tracks is select an owner, a trainer, and a jockey, and have them put forth their best meal, what they like the best. And then we're going to have a competition, and it's going to be a few days before the Kentucky Derby, and we will have a panel of local judges that will judge the food. Bobby Flay, hopefully, we'll head this thing up, you know, the on stage, the camera stuff, you know, he'll tell them what to say and what to do. But so we'll have an owner, a trainer, and a jockey. And then at the end of that show, we're going to have a winner. And it could be one of the owners, trainers, or jockeys. We don't know who it'll be. So then we do the same thing. We mirror that and go to Pimlico and do the same thing. Churchill will be Kentucky Barbecue and Barbecue. Maryland will be seafood, you know, that type of thing. And we'll do the same thing there. We'll get a winner from Pimlico. New York will have, that might be the best one of the deal because it'll be high end for me, all kinds of, food from New York that highlights the city. So now we've got three winners, and then those three winners will end up that next November at the Breeders' Cup. And the Breeders' Cup will crown the Triple Crown champion. So you don't have to win all, you can't win all three of them, but we are going to have a Triple Crown champion. And it will be on Breeders' Cup weekend. So, that was one of the things that I wanted to start there. And, and that's working because the concept that I have is unique, and there's nothing on the horse world like it. Nothing at all. And the key word to that was not only winning, the mini competition of the three that participated in each one of the tracks, but it's about the competition that they win at the end of the summer or beginning of the fall at the Breeders' Cup. And so now, having said that, I started putting things together, and I put together my shows and how many breaks there would be and sponsorships, and so forth and so on. And so now, all of a sudden, the marketing people said, hey, you landed on a gold mine here. Said, this thing is just, it's not a hard sell when they understand that, the little one-page brief that I have on it. Said, it's not a hard sell. And so now, we're getting all excited because now I'm going to have some money to do a lot of things with, and going from, from a low budget to a very, very big budget. That's what I'll be doing. So, I'm excited about that. And then, I'm always thinking, and it's when you got too much time on your hands, when you're riding a tractor or when you're out working with a horse and, your mind's going somewhere and everything. So I got to thinking about, everything. And I said, I traveled over a million miles with the horses in the air and on the ground in my career, been to 12 different countries. And I said, what's really unique? I said, every country I go to, they've got a trailer that's taking the horses from the airport to the training facilities or to the farm, just like we do here in the United States. And in that million miles, no telling how many people I waved to in a day. That we'd be passing on the highway, and they look at the horses and how many gas stations that I stopped at, to fuel up and water and check on the horses, and people come over and want to look at it. And they always ask me, so this is how they travel, be at the airport, in Kentucky or Orlando or New York or California, and the workers would come up there and they'd look at the plane and say, so, that's how they go to Kentucky or, wherever. And they'd see the inside of the plane. So, this was quite a common, question being asked whenever I'd stop in those million miles. So then I got to thinking a little more. I got to thinking about how do they get there? How do they get there? Well, they get there by train, planes, railroad cars, and ships. So I figured I'm making a little documentary up of, how they do that. And it was showing, and I was a load master with Enstone Air Services. So I flew horses all over the country and all over the world, went to 12 different countries, and it's all the same. People were curious about, the horses getting there. So then that's when the name of the show came to me, How They Get There. And I specifically chose the Derby, the Kentucky Derby. And so now the show that we're doing now is called How They Get There, the 2025 Kentucky Derby. And so, you know, I said, now I'm going to follow a trainer and a jockey, you know, and an owner and see what all they go through to get their horse to the Derby. And let me tell you, it's amazing. You know, the owner has to pick a trainer, and the owner and the trainer get together and they pick a horse, and then they pick a jockey. You know, of course, then they got their grooms and, you know, whatnot they have there, you know, to get there. And so all this starts coming together. It's falling together real good. And one morning I woke up at like 2 o'clock in the morning and I said, oh my gosh, here's the way we're going to open the show. So what we're going to do is we're going to have one of the Brookledge drivers is going to drive up to a farm, in Lexington. And when the driver gets there, he gets out of the truck and he starts walking towards the barn. And this little girl comes out and says, are you going to take our horse to the Kentucky Derby? And the driver said, yes, we are. And then she looks at him and she says, how do they get there? And that's the name of the documentary, How Do They Get There? So then fast forward, we go into talking to the owners. How do they buy? Where do they buy? Why do they buy? Then we talk to the trainers, you know. How do you pick your owner? You know, how do they pick the horses that they're going to, you know, try to get to the Kentucky Derby? So we go through that. And then the owners and the trainers tell us how they pick the jockeys and why they pick the jockeys, which is good. Then we go behind the scenes with a guy by the name of Steve Dorman. We find out how they shoe horses. We find out how they feed horses from Hallway Feed in Lexington, which they feed all over the world, all breeds. Again, it goes back to, you know, selecting people that can do a little bit of everything. So we do that. Then we go with myracehorse.com, that how they select the horses that they do, you know, and where they go with it. And they just won the Preakness with Seize the Gray. You know, they got multiple stakes winners all over the place. You know, for $100-$150, you can buy a percentage of a horse, and you're an owner. And you know, they had I think 1,200 owners in Seize the Gray, is what they had. And let me tell you, when those owners won the Preakness, they order a win photo from the track, and you get that win photo, and it says on there, you know, who the trainer is, the stakes race, the jockey. It says the whole nine yards on there, and then it'll say owners. You know, myracehorse.com and Bill Smith or whatever your name is, right on the photo. You technically are a winner, a Preakness winner, you know, and that's the great thing about it. You don't have to tell people how much, you know, you own just as much on a micro share as that guy does that owns 90% of a horse. You're treated like an owner at the racetrack. When you go there, they got, you know, clubhouse seats. My racehorse does a fantastic job, you know, taking care of their people. And they've got a lot of people that do not know anything about horses, but yet they're a horse owner, and they have the thrill of victory every time, you know, that horse goes out and wins, you know, under My Racehorse's colors. You know, so that's a good thing. And that's how you get horses to the Derby. And then, like I said, we talk about feed with Hallway Feeds. They feed horses all over the world. They can tell you any and everything about a horse eating, if they're not eating, what they should be doing. You know, they tell you, they know everything. Family owned and operated there in Lexington, Hallway Feeds is. And, you know, that's important, you know, because, if you're going from here to California, you know that you're getting the same feed that you're getting in Lexington or Florida. You're getting the same feed in California. If you're going internationally, you know you get the same feed where you're going there. And that's what I like about companies like that. And that's why the concept came to me about how we treat these horses, you know, and how we're showing and broadcasting information on the horses. You know, so we have that. Then, you know, we've got Brookledge Transportation. One of the best, if not the best, equine transportation in the country. They ship all breeds. Again, you know, it's somebody that does a little bit of everything. They tell you when to ship, where to ship. They educate you on all the paperwork that you need to go from state to state to country to country, whether it's in the on the air, you know, or on land. They deliver a lot to the airports, so they work good with the airports and the airline companies, you know, so they know what all is going on, you know, and that's good. So, you know, we're looking at ground transportation. And then I worked for Enstone Air Services, flying horses over to Asia. And, you know, so we're going to see how horses fly. You know, so that covers everything that you need to know about the horses. Now, getting back to the beginning of the story, when I said, you know, Brooke Ledger is going to pull up to a farm and they're going to, a little girl's going to come out and say, okay, are you taking our horse to the Kentucky Derby? She says, he says, yes. And she said, okay. And so they look at the trainer, the owner, and all the people there at the farm, and they all give the thumbs up and said, yes, we're going to the Derby. So what we do, or what I do, is when we go to pick up the horse to take him down to Churchill, we go into the stall, we get him, and when we put the shank or the lead rope on the horse, I've got a small mini camera on the horse's halter. So for the next 6 minutes in the show, you're going to see what the horse sees going to the Derby. You're going to see him walking out and getting up onto the van, turning around, riding down the road in the van, looking out and seeing horses go by, you know, or seeing cars go by. Then when we start to get to Churchill, you're going to see the crowd. There'll be crowd people everywhere. Churchill's got over 160,000 people to come to the Derby. And then we're going to pull into the gate 5 there, and you're going to see the guards looking in to make sure he's the right horse. Then we're going to proceed on back to barn 44. And when you get back to barn 44, that's the barn I was in when I was at Windstar and with the people that I work for. And so you're going to see him come down off the ramp out of the truck, and he's going to look around, and there's going to be all kinds of press people there, camera people, you know, the whole nine yards. And then when he turns right to go into the barn, he's going to make a right-hand turn to go into barn 44. He's going to pause, and when he pauses, he looks up, and he sees the twin spires of Churchill, and then that's when we say, and that's how they get there. And what I like about the program is you don't have to be a horse person to watch it. You know, you just have to be curious of how they get there. You know, and you say, oh, that's how they ride on a plane or how they ride, you know, in a van. You know, this is how they get their shoes. This is, you know, what they eat. You know, and you see everything, you know, you go through everything with everybody involved with the horse. You go through all that. And so that's how they get there. And that's a documentary that'll be right at an hour long, you know, for national broadcast. So these are the things that I'm trying to get, you know, into, you know, to the public. And like when we do our story on Saratoga in August, Saratoga is known for horses everywhere, but they're also known for their water, which, you know, everybody knows about, just about. But what's unusual is that's where the potato chip was invented, at Saratoga Racetrack. And what happened is they had an owner there that was wanting, you know, it's kind of like one of those comedy skits. He wanted thinly sliced potatoes. And so the cook, you know, at the kitchen at Saratoga, they kept sending it back. The guy kept saying, oh, no, that's too thick. That's too thick. And I mean, this cook had it sliced so thin you could see through it almost. So finally, he slices some thin pieces off, and they put them down in oil. They cooked them in oil, like a deep fryer. Like, next thing you know, takes them out to the guy. The guy just loves them. They were crispy, crunchy. They were thin. And that's where the potato chip was invented. So those are the things that we talk about, you know, on the show, on the programs. Like, for example, they've got a canoe at Saratoga. And whoever wins the race, they paint that canoe in their stable colors, the farm colors, just like they do the weather vane at Pimlico. As soon as the race is over, they start painting it, and before you get out of Pimlico, the weather vane is painted in the colors of the horse that won the race. You know, so those are the things that we're going to talk about, you know, on the International Equine Report. You know, the odd things that are like that. You know, so I got the biggest kick out of this. People are always talking about statistics. They know how to do this. They know how to do that. You know, the racing form, you know, you got to pay a lot of money for the racing form, buy the sheets that tell everything. And so one day we were talking. When I say we, I mean trainers and jockeys and owners that I see here at the training facility and at the track. And one of the things that came up that was really interesting, last year, or this past Kentucky Derby, no horse has ever won from post 17. Out of the 20 stalls, no horse had ever won from post 17. And the favorite had it this year, you know, so the favorite didn't win it. But what's interesting is the Belmont Stakes. Now, the Belmont Stakes is going to be held at Saratoga next week, next Saturday, a week from tomorrow. And the reason they're doing that is it's going to be 2 years in a row. Belmont and NYRA, the New York Racing Association, decided that they're going to revamp Belmont. And they thought about doing it in stages and, you know, figured how, you know, difficult and, you know, time-consuming that would be. So a suggestion was made by one of the engineers and an architect that they tear the whole thing down all at once. Go down and level it all. Get it all, get the land all right, get it all fixed for drainage, get it all set up for electrical, get it all set up for plumbing, do the whole nine yards, and then rebuild Belmont. And you know what? That's what they're doing. It's going to take them 2 years to get it done. They're going to have a fan-friendly, you know, sporting venue. You know, they've already got a hockey arena there. They got everything. So they're doing it right. So they move the Belmont Stakes to 4 days up in Saratoga. They're going to have 4 days of stakes racing there. And so, you know, now, you know, I said, oh, this is exciting. Well, see, they did the same thing at Gulfstream a few years back. They tore it down and rebuilt it. Churchill Downs has done the same thing. Del Mar and Santa Anita, you know, are pretty much, you know, up to par. And now they're going to do the same thing with Pimlico. They're going to train... rebuild Pimlico, and they're going to do Pimlico Pimlico meet, race meet. Next year we'll race at Laurel because it's in pretty good shape. And so Belmont, you know, is going to Saratoga for 2 years to race to Belmont. Well, the Belmont's going to be a mile and a quarter, not a mile and a half at Saratoga because the track's not configured, you know, to, you know, get a mile and a half in. I mean, they got the room for it, but it's just where you'd have to place the starting gate, you know, and it wouldn't be, you know, conducive to good horse racing. So now we're going to have the Belmont twice, you know, at Saratoga. We're going to have the Preakness twice at Laurel. You know, we just had Churchill just went through their renovation. So, you know, we've got a lot of tracks that are renovating. And so things, you know, change a little bit, you know. But anyhow, getting back to the winners at the racetracks at Belmont, you know, I got the biggest laugh out of this. You look at the Belmont Stakes, the wins and the payouts from to the post, for post 1 through 13. Post 1's had 24 wins. 18 to 1 shot, you know, were the odds. Post 2's had 14 winners, 10 to 1 odds. Post 3's had 16, 12 to 1 odds. Post 4's had 10, 7 to 1 odds. Post 5's had 15 winners from there. Odds were 11 to 1. Then you get down to six. Six has had 9, 7 to 1, were the odds. Post 7 had 14, odds 10 to 1. So post 8 had 7, odds 5 to 1. Post 9 has only had 4 winners, but it was 3 to 1. Then post 10 has had 1 winner. Post 11 has had 3 winners. Post 12 has had 1 winner. And post 13 has had 1 winner. And they were both the favorites in the race when they won from those post positions. So, you know, you start to looking at things like that, fun facts, and we'll be doing a lot of that on them, you know, on the programming here, you know, just to get everybody kind of listen to, you know, what all's going on and answer the questions and, you know, be very informative. We want people to be able to come to the show and watch and listen and not have to know a lot about horses. You know, we got a real good polo show called Chucker that'll be coming up. Very, very popular here in South Florida. But it's even more popular in Texas, in California, in South Carolina, you know, in New York. You know, it's really popular there. So we go behind the scenes and we'll be talking to people like Luis Escobar, which is one of the best polo players in the world. You know, we've just got so many things that are going, you know, here on the network. You know, and it's interesting. You know, it answers a lot of questions. And you know, that's what we want to do. We want to get the non-horse person involved. But yet, on the other hand, we want to give the horse experts, you know, we want to take care of their needs, too, and let them know, you know, what's going on. Like, you know, the new medicines that are available, the new feeds that are available, you know, the whole nine yards. One thing that I like about the website, and I've had a lot of compliments on it, is we've got a page called Quick Links. And when you go to Quick Links, it's got like the Walmart link. It's got the weather link. You know, it's got we got all kinds of hotels that you can go to through Trivago. You know, we got 4 or 5 quick links on there that will really help you as a horseman, you know, to get in to get what you need real quick. You know, because if you're going, say, from here to Saratoga, you know, you go to weather.com and you click onto it and you see what the weather is all up 95, what the traffic is on MapQuest. You see what the traffic is, and it helps you a lot, you know, to do things like that. So we're trying to keep everybody informed. We're trying to make it interesting. We're trying to get new people educated to the programming and what we have. And if you got any questions, you know, you can email me at msmequine24@gmail.com. You know, you can go to the website and get our phone numbers and everything. And, you know, that's what we have. And what I like about, if you miss an episode of what we do, which I'm sure a lot of people do miss them. But you can go to BBS Radio and click on to International Equine Network Station 1, and everything is archived there from shows back in the day. See, I'm getting old enough and done this enough now where I can say back in the day. That's why I like doing that. Makes me sound good. But no, folks, International Equine Network is here for the equestrians and non-equestrians. We're here to answer your questions, and we are here to show you what you'd like to see. All you got to do is tell us. So next Friday, we're going to have a good report on Last Call and Chucker about the sales coming up and about the big polo matches coming up. And then don't forget, Quest for Equine Gold will have all your equestrian Olympic trials. You'll be able to come right to the website and see that, and you'll see how our equestrians are doing in the Olympics. So we'll tune in next week to International Equine Network, and you will hear me, hopefully, again. And we'll just kind of go from there. But thanks for listening, and we look forward to meeting you next week on the International Equine Network.